baby. The father hadn't been able to offer anything in barter, but his shapely daughter had. And after the child was wrapped in an old army blanket and suckling on its mother's breast, Daniel joined the daughter behind the woodpile and did something similar for a while. Then it was her turn. Daniel finally left the farm feeling tired, but in high spirits. Then, wonders of wonders, he had come across a man alongside the road trying to bandage a busted leg. The white splinter of bone from the compound fracture jutted from the torn skin of his leg. After confirming the wounded man was alone, he slit the fellow's throat and acquired a fine pair of walking shoes and some ammo for his blaster. Everything else was junk, so he threw it and the corpse into a swampy bog to hide the deed. Mountain folks often had kin, and some of these uncivilized hillmen took the idea of revenge very seriously, even on a healer. A stick cracked in the darkness outside the clearing, and Lissman drew the blaster in a smooth motion. The .38 caliber Ruger police special was small but powerful, and in his capable hands, more deadly than an auto blaster. Rising slowly, he tried to hear over the noise of the fire. As a standard precaution, Daniel had dragged wild rose bushes into a circle around the clearing. The sharp thorns held off most animals and muties that might attack in the night. Only Norms would pass through the briars. Blaster balanced in his grip, the healer dragged his backpack closer and eased out a sawed-off double-barrel shotgun. Loaded with homemade black powder charges and packed with gravel and rock salt, the crude blaster would kill only at a very short range. But the salt would blind an opponent, giving Daniel the chance to operate again. Few lived who felt the angry touch of his cold little knives. Another stick cracked, closer this time.
"I know you're out there."
Daniel held a blaster in each hand. The heavy weight of the weapons made him feel confident.
"Show yourself, or I start blasting randomly. On the count of 5, 4, 3...
"No, please."
A large man stumbled into view, holding a bloody rag to his neck.
"Come into the light."
Daniel relaxed, neither his stance nor pressure on the triggers.
"I saw the fire. Fell into a bear trap."
"Does look bad."
Lissman lowered the blasters.
"Is the blood spurting out or flowing?" Now, fella, don't try to answer. I'm a healer and can fix you good as new. Got some clean rags and a sewing kit here in my bag."
He kicked the canvas satchel on the ground.
"Thank you."
The man weaved a bit as if ready to collapse. Holstering his hand blasters, Lissman walked over and pulled on a piece of rope attached to the thorny brambles, dragging a large rosebush out of the way. The wounded man stumbled into the clearing, and Daniel used the shotgun to shove the bush back into position.
"That is, fix you for a prize."
The healer holstered the blaster.
"Got any jack?"
"No."
"Spare ammo?"
The stranger shook his head. Slightly annoyed, Daniel sat down and placed the primed shotgun across his lap. The stranger was too big for Daniel to use his clothes, and he owned good walking boots now.
"So, how will you pay?"
Daniel tossed another log onto the fire for more light.
"Got any food? Booze? I can use Jolt or Dream, but no wolfweed. I have no use for that shit."
The man staggered and leaned against a tree.
"Nothing. But strong. I'll travel with you. Bad country ahead."
"Are you proposing that I fix your throat? Then haul your sorry ass along with me to the next ville for free? Am I supposed to feed you too? Go away and die. I have no time for idiots."
"Please."
The man slumped to the ground. With a sigh, Daniel stood and drew his belt knife. The Bowie was 16 inches long, the needle tip of the steel blade reflecting the firelight like a mirror. He walked closer.
"Guess I'll be operating tonight. But don't worry, friend. I always do this as painlessly as possible."
"No, please. Who are you?"
"Who am I? My name is Daniel Lissman. Happy now?"
"Yes. Thank you."
Sullivan smiled, exposing a big bore Army Colt 45 automatic pistol from within the folds of his loose clothing, the hammer already cocked and in the firing position. Lissman dropped the knife and clawed for the Ruger on his belt. Calmly, Without any emotion, Sullivan triggered the military blaster, and a massive dum-dum round blew the healer's chest apart, red blood and organs spraying across the campsite. Before the dead man hit the ground, Sullivan rose to his full height, tucked the blaster into its holster, and threw the bloody rag from his undamaged neck. When he'd found the fresh corpse in the bog, it seemed only natural to use some of the blood to pretend he was wounded himself and follow the trail of the killer. It had been too long since Sullivan last killed in combat, and he desperately needed to know if his skills were as good as ever before taking on the Baron of Front Royal. Stepping over the corpse, Sullivan tossed some more wood onto the fire, building it to a roaring blaze, and inspected the dead man's belongings. There were four more blasters in his pack, along with pre-dark cans, a wad of jack tied with string, vials of jolt, two sticks of dynamite coated with wax to keep them fresh, a switchblade knife, a can opener, and several pieces of silver cutlery. It was a fortune, but Sullivan recognized the items as a litany of human suffering, packed into a dirty canvas satchel. In the background, grisly bits of the dead healer were still dripping off the trees as Sullivan slid the switchblade into a boot. A good fit. Then the half-breed kicked the head of the corpse for a while. Making a decision, Sullivan tucked the bowie knife into his own belt and exchanged his polished Colt for the other man's rusty wheel gun. Dawn was starting to brighten the sky above the thick foliage. Not a cloud was in sight, which was always a good sign. The sky was only a light orange in color, streaked with some soft purple and a few minor burning hues. It was about as clear a day as it got in Deathlands. Squatting on the ground, Sullivan reached out with his bare hands and ripped some strips of meat off the roasting rabbit suspended above the flames. Between bites, he tried different tones and inflections.
Daniel Lissman. Daniel Lissman. Ah, who am I? Hello, I am Daniel Lissman, a healer. How can I assist you, Baron Corder?
As Mildred closed and locked the door to their suite, Ryan checked the ledge outside the windows, while Dean looked under the bed and J.B. did a quick rec for secret doors and such in the walls. Doc probed the closet, Christy searched the washroom, and Jack stood guard in a corner watching their backs. Clem did the same across the room.
Clear.
The armorer dusted off his hands and pushed back his fedora.
Okay, what's this about?
Overton is Nathan's pregnant wife held hostage.
Ryan pulled a chair from under a roll-top desk. He turned the chair around and sat down with his arms resting on the back.
And unless he turns over the veil, she and the baby die.
Wife? I heard some of the staff mentioned his wife. Tabitha, I think they called her. Supposed to have died in the Muti attack.
If she is believed dead, then nobody would try and rescue her.
Exactly. He's got every base covered.
Clever bastard.
Clem leaned against the corner and crossed his arms. He looked for a place to spit, but saw no sign of a spittoon or bucket. Damn, what a backward fortress.
Overton dies.
Jack tilted his head forward so that the snowy hair tumbled forward and masked his features. A knife slid into his palm, and he tested the edge on a thumb. His own wife and child had been killed a long time ago, but the pain of their loss was reborn with this news. The teenager had coldly witnessed the deaths of hundreds over the years, but the murder of women and children stirred a fire in him that no amount of revenge could satisfy.
Die slow.
Sounds good to me.
How can we do that? You saw Overton at dinner. He went to the damn lab with bodyguards trailing along. They probably wipe his butt. The man's always surrounded.
Exactly like Caligula and the Praetorian guards of yore. As I recall, after numerous failed attempts, the mad emperor was finally murdered, but the assassins were killed within moments by his bodyguards. Rome was set free, but at a terrible price.
Only terrible for some.
J.B. fanned himself with his hat.
Get me close.
Jack flipped a knife into the air and expertly caught it by the blade between thumb and forefinger. With a twist, he tucked the knife away into his clothes.
That's all need.
The conversation stopped as bootsteps went by the door, then faded into the distance.
How do you know this?
Christie's hair waved gently about her shoulders. She still felt a bit weak from the flu, but it was nothing she couldn't handle. Ryan